And joining us in the studio, this is the Friday Morning Show. It's The Takeover. I'm Kari Hedlund here with Maggie Montgomery and Dan Haug, who is making stuff up at all times, like Steve Downing said
I'm
right there.
I'm not making this up, really.
We know. No, we're talking about our big capital campaign, which is kicking off now, today, for KAXE. And it's tower and transmitter. And Dan, Maggie was just talking with us a little bit about the needs. And first, let's go back to the basics. And in your most simple explanation, tell us how radio works and how this affects what we do.
So as we sit in the studio, we're making essentially just an audio signal, left-right audio signal that would like come out of your speakers on a stereo or something like that. And we have a small tower at the studio in Grand Rapids. Now, here's the deal. That's not the main tower. What we do is everything in the studio is there to make just a simple left-right audio signal. That audio signal is beamed via microwave. It almost sounds magic. But with that little short tower at the studio, it goes to Trout Lake, 4.5 miles, just over a microwave link. And it's there in the transmitter complex at the transmitter site on the east side or on the west side of Trout Lake, where kind of the magic happens, where it takes an audio, just a left-right audio thing like you'd get out of a CD player or an MP3 player or whatever, and it starts the process of turning that into a radio signal that pushes it up. It gets amplified inside a very large transmitter that, think of it, it's in a couple sections right now. Think of it as like the world's biggest chest freezer in one section, and then two big commercial refrigerators standing side by side inside this building that has, all sorts of wires and cables and fans in it. So it creates this electrical signal that's pushed up the transmission line, and that's just a fancy word for, a really, really kind of piece of wire, or it conducts the signal, and it goes out into the antenna elements at 100,000 watts, and then it's spread out through the area. So we operate a network, and so KAXE is part of that signal. The translators in Brainerd and in Ely receive that signal and retransmit it on their own frequencies. And then KBXE, which we built a few years earlier, is its own standalone plant. And so that has its own tower and its own transmitter. And just as a point of clarification, that signal would stay on the air should something catastrophic happen to KAXE. KBXE would stay on the air. So that's an important distinction there.
Okay. Now tell us a little bit about the physical site of where our tower is and how tall our current tower is.
Right. So we're on a knob of land. That's probably the best description. It's actually a very high location. So Rich and Susie McClear, the father and mother of KAXE, spent a lot of time looking over maps and picked a really good piece of land. It's a very high knob outside of town, about 4 or 5 miles. And it's this location that we want to keep because there's some real strong advantages to it. One, we have gobs of power coming to that location that, if you'll remember, we had a power to the tower campaign many years ago, and that was to bring solid three-phase power to the tower. That was an expensive project, and everybody in the whole listening area contributed to that, and we have a great source of power there. It's a tall site, so just kind of the way the FAA and FCC rules go is that you measure things above ground level. And if you start that ground level in a high location, you get kind of an advantage to the height of your antennas where they end up. And why do you want it high? Because you want it high because it spreads out the signal over a greater area for a less amount of power. So it has many advantages to that site. We want to keep that site. Itasca County, and this has just been a fantastic partnership. Itasca County has the land department and the county commissioners, and the whole process of Itasca County government has been phenomenal in supporting our project, in assisting us in the fundraising, in terms of applying for And Maggie will talk about this more, but in applying for one segment of the funding through a state bond, I can't say enough great about it. The people and commissioners of Itasca County in terms of supporting this project. So it's really refreshing to see.
So Dan, I have a question for you.
Yep.
This is a very expensive project, almost $900,000. And we are asking our listeners and members to help us. We're not asking for the full amount, which we'll discuss again a little bit later about the financials. But it, you know, with the changing technology, why don't we just stream everything?
Right. And that is a good question. Number one, radio isn't dead. There are radio stations going up all over the place. Licenses are actually very expensive to obtain. They have a huge net worth for a broadcast license, of which we hold. And there's several aspects to the radio signal that are just fit in right with Northern Community Radio, KAXE and KBXE. First of all, we own our whole broadcast chain. So if we were to stream our signal, first of all, that's very expensive on a per listener basis. So radio is really efficient in getting as many listeners essentially listening for the lowest cost. Now, even though we have a big capital project, that's kind of amortized per listener because streaming, we are charged for each individual stream that's connected. And that rate is actually fairly high. But here's the other deal. And this is what I think a lot of KAXE and KBXE listeners can really appreciate, is that we own our broadcast chain. So if we stream out to listeners, we are beholden to the whole infrastructure of the internet service providers and the streaming companies. And any one of those could say, you know what, we don't like what you're doing, or we're going to just hold you over a barrel and we're going to start upping your rates. And it's just at a very strategic disadvantage to have all your eggs in one basket that is not in your control. So it's kind of a sense of being control freaks, but it's also, it's the most efficient way to get signal to a bunch of people with a really easy to use technology. I spend so much time with online listeners trying to get them to get their device to work, whether it's streaming on a computer, streaming on a phone, whether it's a... they make these little boxes that you can hook into your stereo system and stream it through that. I spent an insane amount of time trying to walk individuals through trying to make this work. You walk up to a radio, you turn the knob on, and it just works. So there's got lots of advantages, and it's going to be around for a really long time yet.
Maggie, do you have anything to add on that?
Yeah, I want to say that public broadcasting is enjoying a surge in listenership, and I would say radio is definitely on the up and up. I think more young people, more people in general are finding radio. I think in general, commercial radio has consolidated so much and kind of homogenized their sound and their services to a negative impact on broadcasting as a whole. But public radio right now is in a renaissance mode, and listening to All Things Considered and Morning Edition is up. Markets where public broadcasting was never the top station in a market, now it is. And I think we have a long and good future in public broadcasting with radio broadcasting. And yeah, so I think, you know, the investment is certainly worthwhile and merits the amount that we're thinking of putting into it.
Well, and in the area that we're at, I would just probably say that our point is to be accessible to all, right?
And we just heard this morning from Marshall Helmberger talking about Cook, Minnesota, and how there's no internet access in Cook, Minnesota. So what do people in Cook, Minnesota do to stream audio on the internet? They are beholden to those internet service providers who may or may not want to serve an area. So radio is a great technology. It's an old technology. The death of radio was forecast when television came on the scene, but it didn't happen. It was forecast when the internet came on the scene, but it's not happening.
We're here on the Friday morning show. It's The Takeover, and we're talking about a capital campaign that KAXC and KBXC are launching today for a new tower. You can find out more information at KAXC.org, and you can donate there over the course of a year, maybe 3 years. There's a lot of options there. And we're talking with Maggie Montgomery and Dan Haug today about this tower. Now, again, Dan, how long will, so this tower that we're currently at was built in 84, correct? Or 90?
Right, but let's back up just, let's back, is 84, but let's back up just a little bit, because it's easy to use the word tower, but we're really talking about the whole broadcast plant. And now here's the cool part. In the last, 15 years, Northern Community Radio has done just a phenomenal job of essentially upgrading and replacing assets as money becomes available. So in 2005, we built new studios for KAXE. In 2012, we built studios for KBXE along with a new transmission plant. This component, the broadcast plant for KAXE, is kind of the remaining wart. It's the remaining thing that's lurking in the corner that hasn't received any attention. Everything else is in pretty nice shape. We've got, fairly new facilities and somewhat new equipment in these facilities. This is the remaining aspect that also needs an upgrade for the next 30 years. And so this is a long-term infrastructure upgrade. And I don't want to leave the impression that it's like, all of a sudden, we've discovered we have to do that. This has been on our radar, except for the tower. So the tower is the structural element of the tower is a new piece that we hadn't intended on until we did our due diligence and had an engineering study done. But we've known for years that the broadcast plant has to be upgraded. We have a very old transmitter. We have old antennas. We have old transmission line. The building itself is a conglomeration. It's like one of those tin shed things you'd see in some, third world slum country, because it's not in good shape. So the whole thing really has to be redone for the next 30 years. And that's what we're talking about, is an infrastructure upgrade.
I was just going to say, could you just describe, what a person would see if they walk up the hill to the tower? What is it there?
So, and in fact, several people have seen it, because we used to hold Hell's Half Mile there. It was a half mile foot race, essentially up a very steep hill. And it was Jennifer and Jeff Penix, I remember when we were doing that, that would seem to always be the winners, and just smoke everybody as they're running up the hill. So as you go up this very steep road, you'll see a fenced compound with a tower inside the fenced compound, and then a couple structures in there. It's an old cement block building that, in someone's wisdom, they had built a false wall on the inside during one of the many renovations. And so we have a false wall inside of a cement block building with a cavity in there that is just filled with insects and mice and rodents, and there's no way to seal it. It was a really bad idea. Frustrated every time I go there.
That goes back to a little bit of what Maggie and I were talking about, that corners had to be cut when this was all put together.
Exactly.
And we were very tight on a lot of different ways.
It was done with the absolute minimum of funds, and I think without a lot of coordination. Some of the engineering that was done not necessarily with KAXE's best interest, but right now we share the site with KMFY, the other local broadcaster in town. And much of the engineering, including the antenna placement, was done by the engineer who essentially worked for KMFY. And so, even though we own the infrastructure, they got the best position on the pole, so to speak. And it's been a compromise ever since. And so it's time to correct some of that. And so I think with this infrastructure upgrade, KAXE listeners will also see a better signal, just because we're not going to have the interference of of the KMFY antennas interleaved with ours, and I don't want to get into how that's happening, but essentially the antenna placement that we have right now is not optimum.
And the new tower will be that much higher. The new tower.
Right. And so we have an opportunity. Is currently the existing tower is 315 feet tall. Through FAA clearances, we can go up to 500 feet, and that's our intention to do so.
Okay, I want to just reorient listeners here that we're talking about our new capital campaign that is launching today for a tower and whole, what's the word you used?
The broadcast plant.
Broadcast
plant.
Yep, it's an infrastructure project.
For KAXE, and we are using different sources of funding to get this money. It's a very large project, almost $900,000. And we will talk about the funding in just one moment. Quickly, Dan, succinct as you can say, how are you currently looking for parts when something goes out in our current plant?
Two methods. Actually, there's three methods. Some parts are still maintained by... Yeah, you're smiling, Kari, just because you said succinct. Well, don't ask me the hard questions then. I'm getting parts from three sources. One, from the manufacturer, because they still have some parts. Two, from eBay. And three, from a network of public radio engineers that I'm in contact with that can share and strip parts off their old machines and send out. So, three ways.
Yes, you're being very resourceful. And we appreciate that.
And
Dan.
Succinct.
Yes, and succinct. Thank you. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about financials. If you would like more information about this project, please call us at 800-662-5799, or you can also check out our website, kaxe.org.